Alrighty, we're going to have our Bible reading now. Just a little one. So we're looking at Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 25. So I'll invite our special guest Bible reader to come and read it to us. Thank you.
I remember the glasses this time. So this is Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 25. It's the birth of John the Baptist foretold. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people."
So much for that reading. Well, greetings and welcome. Thank you for all right, let's try again. Old habits die hard, don't they, Fred? All right. Well, greetings and welcome. I felt like I've said that before today. Thank you for taking time to check out this week's message, be it here, live in person, or via our live stream. As always, our hope and our prayer is that God would bless you and speak to you during our time together. Before we get into our message, there are some important things that I need to get you guys to know. The first is this. On Sunday, the 6th of December, our church, after our service, will be having our AGM. We're encouraging all Brookside members to please be in attendance. Now, we know that we have COVID regulations that we have to try and balance and deal with to get this AGM to happen. We have a limited number of people who can come and be in this room, limited numbers in our next room. So due to these regulations, we are requesting that everyone who's a member register through trybooking.com beforehand. Now, this booking will be for both the church service and the AGM to follow, not just the AGM. Right? So usually what would happen is Sonia would send you a nice email saying, hey, guess what? Your numbers come up. You're allowed to come to church this week. Won't be happening on that particular week. There will be no SMS invites sent out. I really need to stress that you must get online, register yourself and your family who are going to be at that church service and AGM. For more information, it's on our Facebook page, thetrybooking.com. There's a link in our emails that we've sent out through the week. That being said, if you can't register online, please speak to myself, Sonia, call the office, and we will get you registered. The other thing is, if you're still feeling a little bit uncomfortable, unsure if you want to come along, still worried, a little bit of COVID risk, the meeting will also be live streamed via Zoom. So that's a locked and closed link. So if you want that, please reach out and we will get that to you. The other thing I need to say with that is there's no Brook Kids that week, okay? Okay, I think you got it. You're just all very quiet, but it's okay. Look, it's an important time for us as a church. It's an important time for us to think about where we've been, how God has blessed us, and where we are looking to go into the future. So if you need more information, grab me after the service, contact Sonia or the office, and we'll happily fill in the blanks for you. Also, I would encourage you to read our agenda and annual report, which are also available. Right, so there's that bit done. Tick. Next one is, as Jeff prayed earlier, the O'Haras are leaving us in a few weeks. I'm sure they're all thinking in their mask, aww. And what that means for us as a church is, unfortunately, we will be losing Sonia in that admin position. But after many hours of scouring and begging people to fill in for her, we're excited to announce that from the 7th of December, Gwen Thring will now be our admin person. So be gentle to her for the first few weeks as we get her trained up in the ways of the Sonia. Right, so, yep, that's coming up soon. So Sonia's last official day will be the 6th of December, which just happens to be the AGM. I don't know how you're going to fill in the minutes and get them sent to us, but I'm trusting you. All right, and we're still needing some help for our Christmas Eve church-wide event. We're going to have a barbecue, hopefully a jumping castle. Richard's not in here, so I can't... Yes, there will be a jumping castle. Yes, confirmed. Look, it's going to be a time where we can come together, just celebrate, be outside, be more COVID-friendly, and enjoy this season. All right, that's enough announcements. Let's get into the good stuff. My friends, the end of year is fast approaching. Shops have their Christmas stock out. Kids are getting excited for school holidays. Man, they're getting closer and closer. So let me ask you a question. How are your Christmas plans going? Have you worked out what you're doing? I'm not sure about you, but I've asked a few people as we've been sitting down having coffee, hey, what does Christmas look like for you this year? And I seem to get a fairly common response. Well, it depends. It depends if the borders will be opened or closed. It'll be depend if I could get holidays. It'll depend if this happens or that. And what we have started to do is we started to organize our Christmas plans like we're trying to commit a heist in Ocean's 11. We have plans upon plans. So if the borders are open, then I will go here and spend Christmas with my family just over the other side of the... Oh, but if the borders are closed, what we're going to do is we're going to come here and do this. And if those two things don't happen, I'm just going to spend Christmas by myself, locked in my house, air conditioning on, watching... Oh, no, the cricket's Boxing Day, isn't it? Man... And as you talk to people about those plans, you get that feeling, right? That Christmas feels like it's more stressful than ever before. If you don't know what you're doing, you can't make plans. If you can't make plans, you feel insecure. And if you do make plans, they can change in an instant. So Monday morning, I was sitting there. I was sitting there trying to work out what do we need to say and do leading up to Christmas. And I always come to this question at Christmas time. What is so special about Christmas? Why do we put so much pressure on ourselves at this time of year to get it right? I sat there, pondering, stroking my beard, wondering, thinking about myself, why is it Christmas important? I came up with the answer. Okay, I came up with my answer. Might not be yours, but I came up with my answer. One that explains it so much to me. The reason I stress so much at this time is due to love. I want people, my family, my friends, at this time of year more than any, to know how much I love them. Barbara is a classic example. I want to get her the perfect Christmas gift because I love her. I want to show that I love her. So it dawned on me, Christmas is about love. Because I've often said it. There is nowhere in the Bible that commands us to remember Jesus' birth. There's nowhere in the Bible that says we should celebrate him coming. Yet we're called to celebrate his life and remember his death and his resurrection. Yet every year we make a big to-do about Christmas. Even churches. Churches like plan months in advance for Christmas Day services. It's amazing, isn't it? Why is Christmas so important? Well, John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." We celebrate Christmas because it reminds us that God loves his people. I've been having some fun over the past couple of weeks as school scripture starts to close, looking at elements of the Christmas story and reminding kids, even if they don't get to church, that there are meanings behind things. We were looking at the wise men and, you know, I pointed out, hey, that's one of the reasons why we have a star on our tree, so we can remember these people who sought after Jesus. And we talked about the angel who proclaims the good news. Hallelujah! Emmanuel has come. And these kids are like, yeah, we put a star on our tree. We put an angel on our tree. Okay, one kid said that they put up a pair of clean undies for some reason. I don't know if he was serious. But my point is this. We're feeling more stressed because we're not sure of our plans and we stress about our plans. But do you know who doesn't stress about his plan? God. So that's the idea I want to explore over the next few weeks, this Advent time. I want to explore God's plan and purpose in the lives of those surrounding the Christmas story. And they will tell us more, I think, about God and his character. So I want to start here. I want to start with two people that I think are often overlooked in the Christmas story, and that is Zechariah and Elizabeth, the parents of John, who will become known as John the Baptist. John, the one who will come forward and proclaim the way for the Messiah, the one who will level and draw people in. Luke 1:6 tells us that these people were righteous in God's sight. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous. They walked blamelessly in all the commands and requirements of the Lord. It seems like Zechariah and Elizabeth did everything they could to please God. Now, this is an important thing for us to pick up on. That, yes, they did it in sight of God, for the pure reason of wanting to lift up him, to worship him. And they did it in a way that was about celebrating God more than showing how spiritual they were to other people. It seemed to be a difference between them and their contemporaries. Zechariah and Elizabeth didn't care about the status that went along with priesthood. They lived in an obscure village in the hilly south region of Jerusalem rather than like the other priests in the elite section of the city itself, or maybe in Jericho, the city of luxurious palms like Beverly Hills. And their piety was not simply an outward show. It was about a reflection of their heart for God. They cared more about what God thought than what man thought. It was built into their marriage, even. I had an excellent marriage, one commentator talked about. The quality of our walk with God can determine our ability to walk happily and harmoniously with each other. When we get it right, when we make it not about show, but about God, when we make our walk about Him, and we make our walk about seeking to please him rather than impress men, then our relationship with each other will also grow. So as we read through that Bible reading in Luke, we see that Zechariah gets called into priestly duty. Now, there was approximately like 20,000 priests at this time, and they were divided into 24 courses of ministry. Now, each of these groups served 2 8-day periods during the year. They would spend these 8-day periods, they would leave their homes and they would go and live at the temple. And each course, right, each of these groups was about 830 men. So every so often, someone would have to go in and burn incense. And it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Once you've done it, you probably can't go back and do it again. And this lands on Zechariah's turn. It's a special occasion to be able to go into God's temple as the people prayed and offer up incense as a sacrifice. I wonder what was going through Zechariah's mind at that time. Was it all about duty, or was it all about the specialness of that moment? I was thinking about that. I was thinking about our lives and how we pursue that daily grind, that routine of living. Do you have that routine of living? Every day you have to do this before you do that, before you do this, before you do that. Every week it's the same pattern over and over again. And sometimes when that happens, we forget all the miraculous things, all the special things that are happening around us. We get so used to our grind that we don't see the wonders and miracles going on around us. We need to open our eyes to these moments, to be aware of them, because the miraculous is happening all around us. See, we've seen this story before. When Israel was wandering through the wilderness, they became hardened to the miracles of daily life. I mean, they got used to having God's presence in a fiery tornado ahead of them, that it became commonplace. They got used to quail and, what's the other one, Jed? Manna falling from heaven. They got used to that. Man, that's miraculous. If meat wants to drop down from heaven in front of me, I would be celebrating. Especially if it's a slow-cooked, smoked meat. See, this is what's going on. Zechariah and Elizabeth, who were living their life as worship to God, we're living through the period known as the 400 years of silence. See, we finished looking at the minor prophets, and after Malachi, we don't have any other recordings of prophecies or angelic announcements. There's no significant miracles. So for 400 years, the people had to be about the daily life, the grinding, and the worship of God. And it's hard, right? It's hard to go and be focused if you're not seeing those things regularly when you were seeing them before. Yet here are two servants in the midst of this silence, doing things graciously and wholeheartedly towards God. So when it comes to this moment, after 400 years silence, when Zechariah looks up and sees a figure standing by the altar, he is gripped by fear. It happens all the time in the Old Testament. When an angel of God appears in front of someone, what is their first reaction at all times? Is to be afraid. To be afraid, to be in a holy presence, to be gripped by fear. And this angel comes and he says, I'm going to give you something. And it's a promise from God. You and your wife are going to have a child. Actually, if you look at the prophecy, the angel gives actually six promises to Zechariah in this passage. He promises that God will answer his and Elizabeth's prayers. He promises that God will be gracious to them. He tells them to name their son John. Do you know what your name means, John? It means grace of God. Thank you for gracing us with your presence today. They get promised that this child of theirs will bring and know joy and gladness. That this child named John is going to be great. that this child will lead Israel to a revival. And that there is, well, that the child is the forerunner to the soon coming Messiah. Man, let alone the fact that he's going to be from birth filled with the Holy Spirit. So, imagine it for a second. An angel appears in front of you and says, God's been listening to your prayers. He's going to give it to you. And, well, how would you respond? Well, would you respond like Zechariah? He goes, yeah, I'm old, mate. I don't know if that's going to happen. Zechariah, who had been praying for a son, who had been living faithfully, maybe those prayers of wanting children had started to weaken him a little bit. Now, a word from God comes, a word that could be too good to be true, and as he gets his thoughts together, he says, how do I know this is for certain? I'm an old man. My wife is advanced in years. In other words, Zechariah says to an angel of God, hey, give me some more evidence and I'll believe you. Say, what? Give me more evidence and I'll believe you. See, much like the Israelites who crossed the Red Sea to dry land, when they received the Ten Commandments in the presence of God, they actually forgot him. They started shaping a golden calf to worship. It's like the parable that Jesus will share about Abraham. About the rich man, I should say, who begged Abraham to send him back to warn his brothers. It reminds us of Thomas in that upper room saying, I'll believe when I can put my hands in his wounds. I don't need a verbal affirmation, I want visible evidence. These people wanted more proof than a simple promise from God. Zechariah was a man, but he was a man of God. But he had his human weaknesses. See, God understands our human weaknesses, our flaws, our faltering faith at times. He's not ecstatic about it, but I think he does understand it. And I also think he goes to great lengths to stimulate and strengthen that faith. That's one of the reasons why we have the Bible, his word, that we could strengthen our faith. It's part of the reason why he is there at significant historical events. God's word excites faith as we meditate on it and as we seek to understand it and apply it to our lives. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. As we come into Christmas, as we look and remember Zechariah and Elizabeth, I want to remind you something. I want to remind you, and I want you to hear, that God is faithful to his promises. In Malachi, that old prophet, that Old Testament prophet, that Old Testament minor prophet, the one that we looked at last week, he said there will be one who will come, one who will prepare the way for God incarnate to be on earth. He made that promises 400 years before it came true. Zechariah and Elizabeth's story and their answer to prayer, doesn't it remind us God is faithful to his promises? We might be stressed. You might even be living right now feeling like God has forgotten you. You might be living though you are feeling like you're in a hopeless situation. But I'll tell you something, God hasn't forgotten you. One commentator said that, hey, he hasn't forgotten us. He does impossible things for people every day, and you might be next. So don't fret under the burden of the grind. Believe him. Keep on faithfully living for him and patiently wait for him to work, just as Zechariah and Elizabeth did. I find it interesting that the names Zechariah and Elizabeth aren't mentioned again after this. They're not mentioned again after the birth of John the Baptist, I should say. Yet they leave us a loving legacy that God is true to his promises, that God is the God of the impossible. And out of their faith will come the one who will prepare the way for the Messiah, the one who shows us God's great love for us, the reason why we celebrate Christmas. My friends, man, we're not called to remember his birth, but we cannot help it because it is the good news. It is being proclaimed, Emmanuel, God is with us. It reminds us that God is faithful to his promise, that he would send one who would deliver us. We can't help proclaiming and celebrating Christmas. So, my friends, if you have to make plans equal to that of Ocean's 11 with complicated moving parts to celebrate Christmas with those that you love, to celebrate the reason for the season, man, go for it. Don't stress about it, but go for it. Because like me, I hope that you're celebrating for the reason for the season. It's the good news of Christmas. God with us. Let's pray. Father, as we prepare ourselves for Christmas, as we have a time of Advent, that hope, that excitement of that coming day, Father, we pray that we might keep our focus on you. Lord, that we might direct people to the reason for this season, that you are why we celebrate Christmas. So, Father, we pray. Lord, we pray for those feeling stressed at this time. Lord, those who are making plans or who are having family over. Lord, we just pray, relieve that stress. And Father, we continue to pray that you would help us understand more and more of your great love for us. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Well, thank you very much for joining with us today. Until we see you again, God bless.